Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, and also my co-host, Elder David Clifton. And we thank God that we're able to be here on the day to come with none other than the truth. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So there's nothing like the word of the Lord, and that is, so many people are supposedly preaching the gospel, but we know that the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, also in the ascension, the Holy Ghost coming back on the day of Pentecost, and also He's going to come back again for His people. And that is that we receive the word from the apostles. And according to Ephesians 2 and 20, we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. Therein lies the gospel. So it's good for us to be here today. And we're going to move right along. We've been moving right on through the book of Romans, trying to give you understanding about why this book was written, this book being Apostle Paul's masterpiece, and our relationship, what we want to deal with in the New Testament church and Israel in these next few chapters that are coming up. That's what we're going to deal with on today and in the upcoming chapters that we have. So we're going to give you, we're going to do our food for thought, and then we're going to move on after then.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. I'd like to briefly deal with, for my food for thought, the 19th chapter of the book of the Revelation, starting at the 7th verse, and it reads, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he said unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, These are the true sayings of God." And what I want to bring out is the wife, the marriage supper. And it says, and his wife have made herself ready. And that's dealing with the church. So the church has made herself ready. And I like to look at this, and I've spoke on this before, not on the show, but I spoke on it before, as the church or the saints of God or those that are calling ourselves saints. At this point in time, we are engaged to Christ, if you will, because this marriage has not yet taken place. And just in the natural, if a woman has been engaged to a man, there's certain things that she needs to do, and there's certain things that she need not to do, so that marriage will go ahead and take forth when it is supposed to. And I don't know if there's any man out there that would like if their fiance, their wife to be, to go out and be sleeping around or doing things that he doesn't approve of before they even make it to the altar. That will probably, in most cases, cause that man not to want to go ahead and marry that woman. So I say to those of you that are, you know, saying that you are in the church and that you are the saints of God, I want to remind you that we are to be keeping ourselves. We are supposed to be as chaste virgins, if you will. There's things that we are not supposed to be doing so that we can make it to the altar, if you will, so that we can make it to this marriage supper, because Christ has not yet called his bride back home, as Elder Cannon said. That should be part of the gospel message when it's preached, is the catching away of the church, or the rapture, as a lot of you hear. That's when the bride of Christ will be called back up to the secret chambers, if you will. So I just encourage you all to continue to keep yourselves. If you are not, thank God for mercy and grace. You have time to get it together, and let us, as the song say, press towards the mark. Amen?
Amen. Amen. We want to give you our guest call-in number, 646-716-6566. That's 646-716-6566. And also, I was thinking, as Elder David Clifton was reading, and that Paul admonishes the church in the fifth chapter of Ephesians, the same thing what he was writing about the fifth and the 17th verse, he was saying, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Wherefore, be not speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he goes on here, and he's going to sum it up, and submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished it and cherished it, even as the Lord, the church. For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. So we can see here, this first quote here, when he's talking about, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Mm-hmm. We're talking about Adam and Eve, and God sanctioning marriage between male and female. Yeah. That's the first marriage. So he likens the church as unto the chaste virgin. Yeah. So that's what makes the difference in the church of God or in the sanctified church, or like Jesus said in St. John 17:17 when he said, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. You set yourself apart. And even back in the Old Testament, when people got married, they had to make sure they had a test to prove that this woman whom they married was a virgin. So how much more the Lord and the church? So our morality is so important. And so that's why the scripture says in Revelation, I believe the 16th chapter, about keeping your garments lest you be found naked, and the shame of your nakedness do appear. So people are getting uncovered. So there's nothing to do. When you get accused of something, why can't you say you did it or you didn't do it? Ain't no beating around the bush. That's lying. That's the world system. In the church, somebody can ask you a question, just like that football player didn't. Folks are, and these politicians are not answering questions.
Yeah.
If someone asks you a question as a child of God, you can give them an answer, yes or no.
Yes.
Why, are you guilty? So that's the problem with us. We shouldn't be coming across as guilty. I mean, so if you are, come clean, like
come
David
clean.
Did.
You got to come clean.
Yeah. The fifth chapter, the 51st Psalm, that was David's repentance.
Uh-huh.
When Nathan the prophet mm-hmm. came unto him about what he had done, having
Bathsheba
mm-hmm. Husband, murdered in the battle, mm-hmm. took her to be his wife and lied, and all this stuff that he done. But he did come clean. So he was wrong, and he had to pay, because he caused the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. The Lord said, the sword shall never depart from thine house.
Amen.
So you did this thing in secret. He said, I'm going to do this before all Israel and before this son.
And that's what he did, too. He sent Nathan to him.
Yeah.
David may have thought that he got away.
Yeah.
But we have to understand that God does see all, and he knows all. And if we do get out of order and we try to cover things up, God has permission. He can and he will in certain cases, as Elder Cannon says before, he'll pull the sheets back. He'll reveal that.
Yeah.
And even in God doing that, we should go ahead and repent. That's also, I guess if you want to look at it, kind of like the last call to repent, if you will. God's pulling back, or he's revealing things. He's letting you know, I know about this. Here's your chance to come clean.
Right.
But what we shouldn't do is try to go on and continue to wallow in the lie and wallow in the sin. And as you said, we don't directly answer questions. That, to me, it's a sign of guilt.
Yeah.
But we have to come to the point, you know, some sins will bring on shame. And we understand that and we know that. And that's one reason we shouldn't get caught in those things. But if that happens to you, if you happen to go that route, like I said before, grace and mercy is still available. If God wants to give that to you because he can, you should take an opportunity and get yourself straight. Amen?
Right, yeah. People don't want to be ashamed right now before people, all of these people who they have deceived, that they were so right. But it's better to come clean now, because you're going to stand before God.
Mm-hmm.
See, not only that, the Bible said, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastisement, God dealeth with you as with sons.
Mm-hmm.
What son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons.
Mm-hmm.
Then he goes on, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live?
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't, you know, it's good that God will think enough of you to bring you back on track. When we got out of line, we got tore up. So they loved us. So that's the thing nowadays. They're coming up with all this stuff where they want to get away from what the word of the Lord says. It's the Bible says that a child's heart is bound for foolishness, but the rod of correction will drive it far from it. He didn't say abuse them. He said correction. So we have been corrected. It does work. You're going to get, you promise you ain't going to do it no more. Right in the middle of why you're getting chastised, you're not going to do it no more. Till the next time. So we thank God for his correction that he has unto us. So as we move on today, we know these next few chapters is the relationship with the church and with Israel. As we, the church, have been grafted in, we know the foreknowledge of God. God knew who was going to be saved. He knew all of Israel. Israel as a nation weren't going to accept the gospel,
mm-hmm.
but so in that, and he said, we'll see as we go in chapters to come that all of Israel shall be saved, and that is some from every tribe, the 12 tribes of Israel, as they say, the 144,000. And so, but the church, the foreknowledge of God, God knowing who was going to be saved on the day of Pentecost, and then also his foreknowledge, just like he declared the end from the beginning. That's what Isaiah was talking about, Isaiah 46, 9, 10, and 11, when he said, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me,
mm-hmm.
declaring the end from the beginning in ancient times, saying my counsel, things not yet done. That's the key right there. Not yet done saying, my counsel shall stand, and I'll do all my pleasure. So the Lord already knew that the nation of Israel as a whole were not going to receive the Lord, but he was going to be a light unto the Gentiles anyway. That's why the Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Mm-hmm.
So it's for us in the first place. But when you want to get really technical, we got grafted in, but it doesn't matter. We're in.
Yes, we're in.
So if the choice is up to us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the for God putting us in, giving us a chance to believe the gospel. And we dealt with some of this when we went through the Acts of the Apostles, when Paul was saying that the Israelites weren't going to hear the gospel. He said, "Lo, I'm going to turn unto the Gentiles. Your blood be upon your own heads." So it's up to us as individuals to believe God. Because you're going to have to stand before God for yourself. As the Bible has said in the book of Hebrews 9 and 27, says, "As it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment."
Uh-huh.
So if you get in the church, and that is by water baptism in the name of repentance, and water baptism in the name of Jesus, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, speak with other tongues or other languages, as the Spirit gives utterance, then you're in the church. Peter said judgment must begin on us. You know, judgment begins at the house of God.
Right.
So we don't have to stand before the white throne judgment, but our judgment is now.
It's happening right now.
Yeah, we're correcting ourselves right now, like taking the test. You can pass the test. All you got to do is make sure before you turn it in, you answer all the questions.
Amen.
You can take your time and do it.
Amen.
So we're going to venture off here in the ninth chapter of Romans. We've been dealing with all the rest, talking about justification, talking about glorification, talking about who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect, and how all of these things that are not going to separate us from the love of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And we know the love of Christ, the love of God is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So it is in Jesus. And after we leave the book of Isaiah, you never see the name Jehovah anymore. So the Bible in the Old Testament, the church was there. It was concealed, but in the New Testament it is revealed,
mm-hmm.
and that is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Savior, who was the prophet that was written about, who is the priest now that ever liveth to make intercession, which in his time he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the king, but he is going to be presented as the king.
Yes.
He's going to prove who he is by fulfilling his word. So we're going to venture off into the ninth chapter. And so we see here that Apostle Paul was saying that he was persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So he goes on here, "I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. I have a great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. If I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my kinsmen, my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh."
Uh-huh.
"And who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises? Whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen." So we can see here, even as the Apostle Paul is talking about Israel and how he has a burden for Israel,
mm-hmm.
for his brethren, the Israelites,
mm-hmm.
and how they got to believe God. They got to believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. So he goes on here, "Not as though the word of God hath taken non effect. They are not all Israel, which are of Israel." So that's a powerful statement right there. So a lot of people that believe the gospel, like we can see on the day of Pentecost, they were Jews from every nation.
Right.
Everybody didn't believe the gospel at that particular time.
Right.
But so as time went on, some people did see the light and believe. They realized that Jesus is the light of the world. It's like he said, "I'm the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life."
Uh-huh.
In the eighth chapter of St. John. So they didn't realize that he was, they had crucified the Lord of glory. But Peter and them had such revelation when they knew that he knew all things, and when he was asking Peter about feed my sheep and feed my lambs.
Uh-huh.
So
And that's one of the reasons here when we go back that he said he had this great heaviness and continual sorrow in his heart. And not to go too far ahead, but in the beginning of chapter 10, he said, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved.
Right.
So we understand that he has a heaviness in his heart because his brethren, according to the flesh, some of them have not received the gospel which he is preaching.
Right.
And it was for the Jew first, then to the Greek. So it's not that they're, as Elder Cannon said before, not that they're not going to receive their promise, but he's saying as of right now, my heart's, you know, I'm heavy, and I have continual sorrow for my kinsmen according to the flesh because they have rejected Jesus Christ. And we've talked about this before. Israel was looking for the Christ to come in a different manner in which he came. And that is why some of them missed Jesus. You know, Jesus did not come as the king as he's going to come back in the second coming. He came as a lowly servant.
Right.
When he made his triumphant entry, he wasn't on a big stallion, if you will. He came in riding on the fold of an ass.
Right.
You know, the Bible says that Jesus had nowhere to lay his head. You know, he just went about wandering, teaching and preaching about the kingdom of God. So Israel was looking for this big, strong, you know, conquering king to come. So that's one of the reasons that they did not receive Jesus, because they were simply looking for something else. Amen.
Right, right. Yeah, and that's why I was, as he was saying that, I was turning there. That's why in Zechariah 9:9 he said, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass."
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't come like they thought he was coming, as a conquering king. But he is. That's why Apostle Paul said when he wrote to Timothy, 1 Timothy 6:15, which is his times he shall show who he is, the blessed and only potentate, King of kings and Lord of lords.
Mm-hmm.
Not time yet,
mm-hmm.
but it's time for us to believe the gospel right now.
And another thing to point out here, and we'll get into this further maybe today or in our next session, is there is a distinction between Israel and the church.
Yeah.
And one of the things that you have going on in the churches nowadays is you have the churches, as some people say, trying to steal the blessings of Israel. We have to understand that there are some things that were set. There's some promises that were given to Israel. There's some promises given to the church. So we have to know and be able to make that distinction, because a lot of times we're quoting scriptures, and maybe you're using them by way of application. If you're doing that, that's fine. But sometimes we take them out of context, and the church is trying to take the place or take the blessings or take the promises of Israel, and we're wrong in doing that. So we have to understand that there is a difference between the two. Amen?
Right, yeah, that's doing violence to the scripture. When he was saying they were the head and not the tail, the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, that's Israel.
Mm-hmm.
That has nothing to do with us now. We're not the head. We say that. People say, that sounds good.
Uh-huh.
No, Christ is the head of the church,
yes.
which the Apostle Paul said, which is his body.
Yes, yes, yes.
The Israelites are already blessed.
Uh-huh.
We tell people, yo, God will bless you. You get a house. You get all we talk about is houses and cars. You can get either one if you got a job.
Yeah.
You know, that's not even important.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's why he let them know. Jesus, during his earthly ministry, he was talking about all the things that the Gentiles seek after. He said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added." You can get whatever you want. You got the money, right. You got the money. We just, you know, we caught up in that. So he said, "Not as though the word of God have taken non effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children, but and Isaac shall thy seed be called." We know that he said, "Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated."
Mm-hmm.
So we know when Rebekah was having those sons were in her womb, the Lord let her know two nations was in her womb.
Mm-hmm.
And the elder was going to serve the younger. So that was a battle going on even then.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a great mystery. And that's why they're having so much trouble even today in the Middle East.
Yes.
And they're fighting over that land,
uh-huh.
and they keep talking about peace, but it's not going to be any peace until the Prince of Peace comes.
That's right.
So they don't understand that. So that is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise, at this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, just like we just said. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes on here, he asks the question, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. Then he goes back. For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy.
Mm-hmm.
For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose, have I raised thee up that I might show my power in thee, that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and on whom he will, he hardeneth. And so that's why somebody made mention about this one time about Pharaoh. And Pharaoh, the Lord never spoke to him. He didn't like it. God always used a messenger.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't speak directly to him. Even Pharaoh had inquired and said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? So you got to do, so Moses was God's man.
That's right.
Who went to him and kept saying, that thus saith the Lord, Pharaoh, let my people go.
Mm-hmm.
So God uses a spokesman. And that's what God does. Even we have a representative for our cities, for our townships,
yes.
for our states. We have a governor, and for our supposedly United States,
yes.
we have a president.
Uh-huh.
And it's funny how they call him the leader of the free world. But we're losing our liberties. So we kind of like, just like they were saying, they had to realize that they were free. We have freedoms. Even in our natural world today, we're losing our liberties that we are supposed to be. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Uh-huh.
It ain't. They're locking up people and accusing people. They had on the last Wednesday night, I believe, when I went home from Bible class, on Larry King Live, a number of men that had been in prison for 15, 10, 26, numbers of years,
mm-hmm.
and DNA freedom, found out they were innocent.
Right, right.
So that's the thing. There is no unrighteousness with God.
Right.
There is with man.
With man.
Yeah. And what happened, they got a prosecutor who was a African-American, and they wanted to have him to change the rules, and he wouldn't do it. So that opened the door to free up all of these people. So there's somebody standing up. That's what the Bible says that righteousness exalted a nation. But sin is a reproach to any people.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't matter who you are. So you're going to do the right thing, you're going to take some heat from it. Because there's just too much. And the problems that they were having by lying and stealing and cheating, these things that people were doing, even back in the Old Testament, these kind of things that we are not to do, but there is the righteousness is what we should have. That is the righteousness of Jesus Christ nowadays. So, and then we want to receive mercy from God. We want to be able to be the ones to do the right thing, to be recipients of God's mercy. So, so this is God's foreknowledge here, as we see here, as it was written. So the children being not yet born, in the 11th verse, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand. So, not of works, but of him that calleth. So, God's foreknowledge, he knows everything. That not saying God doomed people, but God foreknowledge knows what's going to happen. So that's why Abraham was saying in the fourth chapter of Romans in the 17th verse, he said, even God, which quickeneth the dead, and he calleth those things that be not as though they were. So God knows what's going to happen. And nobody can stop the will of God and the purpose of God from being coming forth and being fulfilled. So there is no unrighteousness when he said, what then shall we say? What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will compassion. So we see here the 19th verse, because we read these others. Thou wilt say unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but O man, who art thou that repileth God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another to dishonor? This is the question. What if God willingly to show his wrath and make his power known endureth with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he hath afore prepared unto glory, even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. So, even as we're going to see as we go on in subsequent chapters, Apostle Paul makes mention about the callings of God. He says, Romans 11:29, he says, for the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. So we know the subject that he is talking about there is Israel. So many times people misquote that scripture. They say gifts and callings come without repentance. But what they're not even quoting the scripture correctly, because the subject is Israel, and that's why he says, for the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. So God gave Israel the oracles of God. God called Israel, and God is not going to change his mind. He's going to restore them. He's going to bring them back. He's going to raise them up. They were the apple of his eye. And so this is what he's going to do. So that's why we said the 24th verse here, he says, even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. So even we read when we went through the Acts of the Apostles, the 10th chapter, when Peter said, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. That's the key right there. We got to do what's right. We got to have a mind to want to do what's right.
Uh-huh.
And then we can be acceptable with God. And so that so many times people want to do things their own way, or they get caught, they're lying. You got to if you just go ahead and come clean, doesn't matter who you are, and you'll be better off, because you can't get away with that kind of an attitude if you are guilty. That's the world's way. They get a lawyer, they don't ever say anything, or they pay somebody off, like that one basketball player was having an operation,
mm-hmm.
ended up getting accused with rape. We don't know if he really forced her or not, but the whole thing is, even if he didn't, she said he did. So he ended up, he could have been ruined and been in prison, but he ended up must have paid her off.
Mm-hmm.
And it's time for her to talk, she wouldn't publicly, so that went away. So that's not going to happen with God. We ain't going to get away. We got to do what he says. And Adam said that, found that out. He hid because he heard the voice of the Lord walking through the cool of the garden, and said, Adam, where art thou? He said, I hid because I was naked. And the Lord, and he had been talking to God in the cool of the evening.
Mm-hmm.
And God asked him a question, who told thee thou was naked? So that's the way it is with sin. You get caught naked. The shame of your nakedness is going to appear. You should be ashamed,
mm-hmm.
if you're not. And so many times people are lying and acting like they're not.
And John said, he said, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
Right.
But here's the good part. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. But the key is if we confess our sins, and we understand that this is talking to a saint, to a child of God, someone that has already been saved and falls into sin. You are able to go to Christ and confess. You know, there are some sins where, you may have to go to the man of God, but in some cases you can just go right to Christ, but you have to confess them and not hide them.
Right.
You know, you can't cover up your sins, amen. So
right.
So we have to know that.
Right, yeah, you cover your sins, you're not going to prosper. So that's just, it's the thing about it. You just got to be clean, even on a job. They want you to tell the truth when you're doing, you're filling out an application for a man's job.
Yes.
Let alone you're going to be in the house of God, which is the pillar and the ground of the truth, your body being the temple of God, you worshiping God in the spirit. You know, you're supposed to worship him in spirit and in truth. You got to be honest. You got a problem, you need help. Like Peter was thinking, was no excuse, like, oh, my faith failed or whatever. No.
He cried out,
Lord, save me. Because he knew that the rock could save him. And the rock who saved him, he wasn't standing on the rock. He was the rock.
He was the rock.
Yeah, he saved him. Brought him into the ship. Says, thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? So, you know, he did doubt. And he had no argument about that. He knew that there was nothing to do but ask the Lord to save him, and he did. So in verse 26, verse 25, and he said also in OC, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which not was not beloved. It shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. And that's one quote, that's what Apostle Paul was saying. He tore down the middle wall of partition in the book of Ephesians. You know, it says you were sometimes afar off. He said, you're made nigh by the blood of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what he did. So he made in one, tore down that middle wall, made in one, so making peace. So we have access to God, you know, by the Father, one Spirit. So that's why the Hebrew writer says, seeing then that we have the great high priest is passed into the heavens, you know, let us... therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find the grace to help in time of need.
Uh-huh.
So do we have this access? So the Lord, we're men that things can happen. So we think of sin, we think of a great thing. You just have the wrong attitude. You need to ask the Lord to help you.
It
doesn't matter. You know, sin is, the Bible said, John wrote, and said that all unrighteousness is sin.
That's right.
So we want our attitude to be right toward God. It doesn't matter who we are. So he goes on, and it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, they shall be called the children of the living God. Isaiah also cried concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. And so the remnant that he's talking about is those 12 tribes, 12,000 from every tribe, 144,000. As some people claim, that's them. But they got millions of them. So what about the 144,000? So if the 144,000 is already in, then everybody else is crazy because they don't have a chance.
That's right.
That don't even make sense.
That's right.
That's the remnant. Just like they used to have this place called New York Carpet World. And they would have a time where they would sell. They would have a remnant sale, which would mean the remnant was left over from, they would be bringing in new stuff.
Uh-huh.
And the remnant that was left over, they were putting on sale. So the remnant of Israel, that's those 12 tribes. And they name out those tribes. You can read them in the book of Revelation. So he says Isaiah also cries concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because the short work will the Lord make upon the earth. And as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed, we had been as Sodom, and had been like made like unto Gomorrah. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith? But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained the law of righteousness. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it is written, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. But we know the rock that they stumbled after is the rock Christ.
That's right.
Because we know that he was a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. You know, and I believe it's the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. It's talking about they did all eat the same spiritual meat and drank the same spiritual, and that rock was Christ. 1 Corinthians 10 and 4, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, and they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. These things were written, these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted, neither be idolaters or idolaters, as some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for example. They are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. So we can see here how it's all the relationship of Christ and the church, even relating it back to Israel. It's the same God that was back then. And then you think of, when I ministered this past Sunday, you think of things that you would have said, you could have said, and you get done. But what people have to realize, even as God gave the example here when he's writing about Israel and how Moses waved that rod that he had in his hand and God opened up the Red Sea, and the same water that saved the children of Israel is likened unto our baptism. Same water that saves you destroys your enemy.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same scenario that happened to them, knowing that they went through, they were saved through the Red Sea. The enemies came in, God destroyed the enemies in the same water. So that's how God works. And then you have to wonder what was going on in Pharaoh's mind when he went in there, because that you didn't think that you saw that open up. It's going to close back up, too.
That's right.
It's not going to stay open.
And even that light, you know, that light that was guiding Israel, that same light blinded Pharaoh and those that chased after them.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have to look at things like that. And speaking of that stumbling block, you know, Isaiah even spoke about that back in Isaiah chapter 8, verse number 14, and he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to both the house of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. So even these things were prophesied.
Right.
That Israel would not receive the Christ when he came. And even John, in the Gospel of John, he says that he came unto his own. That would be Israel, and his
right.
own received him not. So that's why when you flash forward in the Gospel of St. John in chapter number 10, he told him, he said, there's a sheep. I have a sheep of another fold. You know, and let me get that here so I can say it right. I don't want to paraphrase here. He says, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Now that other sheep is speaking of the Gentiles.
Yes. Yes.
So God has always, he's always going to have a people And as Elder Fountain has keep reiterating, Israel will be saved, and that's according to the scriptures.
Right.
He goes back and he says that, I want to go here, actually, yeah, in the 11th chapter, I don't want to go too far ahead, but it says, "And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins." So Israel is going to be restored. We can't take anything from them. We can rejoice and we can be thankful that we were grafted in. But Paul tells us as Gentiles that we should not boast, because as easily as we were grafted in, we could be taken right back out. If the natural branch was taken out, you know, what more can the unnatural branch that was grafted in say?
Right. And I think, I don't want to really go off into the 10th chapter. So in here in the 3rd chapter of our 2nd Corinthians kind of gives us we can see how Israel was blinded.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of condemnation to you, or letters of condemnation from you? Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men, for as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to God word. Now, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who has also made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But the ministration of death, written engraved in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses, for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious?" He's asking a question. "But the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of the righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, not as Moses, who put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, but their minds were blinded," talking about Israel. "For until this day remaineth the same veil, untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ."
Mm-hmm.
So they were blinded.
Mm-hmm.
Their hearts blinded. So "But even unto this day, when Moses read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away." Talk about when they turn their heart to God,
mm-hmm.
then the veil will be taken away.
That's right.
So that's why he goes on to say, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, behold, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord."
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't turn their heart to God. That's why they're still at that wall that they call the wailing wall, weeping.
That's right.
Unto this day, because he ain't coming. He already came.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you preach Sunday. This same Jesus whom you crucified,
yes.
God is let all the house, what he's saying, let all the house of Israel know assuredly. That this same Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ.
That's right.
So he is the one. He is the anointed one.
And the world, you know, the world has a saying, you should never judge a book by its cover. And as we said before, that was one of the issues that Israel had. Just going back to the Gospel of John in the 1st chapter, where Jesus was calling the disciples unto himself. At verse number 44 of the 1st chapter, says, "Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter." It goes on to say, "Philip findeth Nathanael, and said unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." So on one side, you have some of them They knew who Jesus was. They, mm-hmm. they saw him. They recognized that this is the one that Moses spoke of. So that should go on to tell you that Jesus is just more than a man. He's just more than a prophet because Moses wrote of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But then it goes on, and watch the question that Nathanael asks. He said unto him, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? So Philip said unto him, come and see. But the thing is, see, they were looking for Jesus to come from a different place and come in a different manner.
Yes.
So they missed it because they didn't know exactly what they were looking for. And I think some of us in this day and age, we're missing Jesus because we're looking for certain things. We're looking for God to do certain things. Even when we pick our churches that we go to, we're looking for a certain church. It's got to be one of these big old churches with big steeples and a lot of members.
Mm.
And what you think is, okay, you have a lot of people in there, but is God in there? Are they preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ?
Right.
Then you go to these storefront churches and you think, well, there could be nothing good in there. It's a storefront church. They don't have nothing going on. And these are some of the places where God continually shows up and shows out, as people say. So we have to sometimes not so much look in the natural at things or look in the eyes, but we have to have an understanding, as you preached this past Sunday, have a knowledge of, do you even know who Jesus is? If we have an understanding of who Jesus is or who the Christ is, we would know what to look for. Amen?
Right. Yeah, and that's why people are going to miss it. Even he's not in like that, like when they was looking for the Lord, they said he wasn't in the wind, he wasn't in the rain,
mm-hmm.
but a still small voice.
Still small
so
voice.
You know God nowadays by his word, and according to his word. So not in the big crowds, and then God does have crowds. God was the one who did that. On the day of Pentecost, it was added to the church. The Bible said it was about 120. And then it went on to be, as Luke wrote, about 3,000.
Mm-hmm.
Then it went on to be about 5,000.
That's
so
right.
We know the church growed.
Yes.
And they were scattered. And many souls were saved. But the point being is, a lot of folks are talking about the gospel and trying to make everybody else be a believer and all of that. You got to be born again. You're not in the family of God if you haven't been born again.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter, you know, you got to do what he says.
That's right.
Period. This is not, people try to generalize it. Oh, I'm a Christian. You're either a Christian or you or this or that or the other. No, you're a Christian if you have done what the Lord says.
That's right.
And that is like he said to John. In the book of John, when he said to Nicodemus that ye must be born again.
Uh-huh.
So he let him. He found out about the born-again experience. On the day of Pentecost,
right.
There came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, filled all the house room where they were sitting. There appeared unto them clothing or divided tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. The Bible goes on to say, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance.
Uh-huh.
So that's how you know that you have been born again. And Peter let them know, said, what meaneth this? And he let them know that they said, what must we do? He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. That already, those that received the Holy Ghost, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, promises unto you, Jews, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So the Lord used Peter to preach a message that he had to come up to himself.
Yes.
And that is, he said, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call.
Uh-huh.
So he didn't really believe that this was for the Gentiles, you know, because we were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel,
yes,
without God in the world, you know. But now, we, Apostle Paul said, who were sometimes afar off, as I said earlier, were made nigh by the blood of Christ. So that was to make the difference. That's why he died for this. Even the high priest knew that one man should die,
mm-hmm,
before Jesus died. But he didn't die. That was, the Bible said, once in the end of the world had he appeared in the presence of God to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So that was to be done. That was the last time. Wasn't no more bloods of goats and heifers.
That's right.
And, pigeons and all that, they couldn't take away the take away sin. Mm-hmm. But Christ, being come a high priest, you know, gave his life once and for all. He even prophesied of his own life, that he was a good shepherd. He gave his life for the sheep. And our hireling is not going to give his life. He see the wolf coming. He booking, as we say. He getting up, getting out of there. You know, like they said, he's on his horse.
That's right.
Come on, feet, don't fail me now. But the good shepherd, he gives his life.
And that's something that I think we need to understand, the difference of what pastors are, or what true shepherds are, and what hirelings are. And that's one of the reasons that we have so many different beliefs, so many doctrines, so many denominations, is because a lot of these people that are setting themselves up in the pulpits and giving themselves the name of pastors, they're hirelings.
Right.
And what that means is they're just a hired hand. You're working, you're doing the job for money. Your heart's not in it. So, you know, we have to thank God for brothers like the Apostle Paul, where his heart was in this. You know,
right.
And he left behind, if you will, his heart. He left behind what he wanted us to do, or what we needed to do to get, you know, to the place of promise, which is heaven. So, you know, it's good for us, as Elder Cannon says, it's good for us to go through these things and to try to give you all, you know, some understanding of what's going on. And, you know, and he was mentioning the new birth experience. You have to be born into the family. Just as when Paul was talking of Israel in the natural according to the flesh, they were born Jews. And those that were not born Jews, they were not the children of God. Unless
right.
We know that there was proselyted Jews, but you had to be born a Jew.
Right.
So now to even be called a child of God, you have to be born into that family. So it's the same thing, and you always see that, you know, that distinction between spiritual and natural. And there are some things that we need to compare in the spiritual and the natural. There's some things that God taught us in the natural, and that same thing will apply only on the spiritual side. And again, you have to have, you know, a shepherd called by God to lead you through these scriptures and give you some understanding of some of these things, because we all be lost if we just pick this book up and just read it like we read any other novel. There's so many things, you know, a lot of things that the apostles taught, well, I shouldn't say a lot, everything that they taught, it came from the Old Testament. So we have to have some understanding of the Old Testament. A lot of these things, a lot of these prophecies, just as we read about the stumbling block, Isaiah had prophesied about that. They had the Old Testament scriptures to reference. We have the New and the Old, but a lot of times we have people that only want to stay in the New. And we have to be able to go back to the Old. And that's one of the reasons, as the Jews miss Christ, you have people nowadays that they're not really missing Christ, but they're missing the revelation of who Christ is. And that is that Christ is indeed God come in the flesh. But if we're able to go back to those Old Testament scriptures, we'll be able to find that out, that he is actually hidden in those scriptures. Amen.
Right. Yeah. So that's we know our time is far spent. So that's the beauty of it, the revelation of Jesus Christ, is that God actually did incarnate.
Yes.
He came in a human body, knowing that Jesus is eternal, but the Son isn't. The
that's
same
right.
Jesus, because the name, you know, Jehovah has become our salvation. He's eternal. But that body is not eternal. That body was given for a purpose.
Yes.
So we know that then come at the end, when he shall put down all rule and authority, he must reign till he had put all enemies under his feet. We know the last enemy is death. So the sonship was definitely given for a purpose. So we know our time is, we're going to pick up on the 10th chapter, going to the 10th chapter of Romans when we on the next time. Thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That's truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh.
justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.